Daniel Proft. He's a young man who was burned very severely. Please keep praying for him. I also ought to think, it's been on my heart all week. This last Sunday, 10 o'clock, while we were having church, is when the helicopter crash happened and Kobe Bryant and his daughter were killed. And then there were 9 total, I believe. And so there were 7 others. And actually, our son Josh's wife, Chelsea, her mother teaches in elementary school. And one of the other teachers, and one of the other women, had been a teacher. So just, you know, it gets real close real fast about who you know. So it was another person who had taught with Mrs. Shenton at the school who was on the helicopter and friends of theirs, and they were killed. And so just continue to pray. You know, when Josh Harris and I were talking about the accident with Kobe Bryant, and he said, you know, you just don't know. You just don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when your time is up. And it should cause all of us to be stirred up and to be praying for the people we know and the people we have a voice with to share Christ with them. You know, the Bible does not give second chances. This is the chance. This is the time for us to respond to Christ. I actually looked up Kobe Bryant's family, you know, on the web, and I just tried to find some religious affiliation. And it said that his family was Roman Catholic and that they were actively pursuing that. And I just pray that in there they heard about Jesus somewhere and that they might have received Christ. Ron? My heavens, I pray that they understood. Did you hear that? That they went, that they had communion as a group before they took off. Maybe somebody, you know, taught about the blood and the body of Christ. Oh, that would be good. So we are going to talk, as we said, about sanctity of life today, just a little bit. And I'd like to start with a couple of thoughts. And how many of you are kind of thinking about getting ready for your garden coming up? Garden coming up, right? Some of you have already actively pursued. I have one person who's telling me I should rototill my garden right now so it's ready. But when you plant your garden, you plant a kernel of corn. What do you expect?
Corn.
If you plant a bean, you expect beans. And so when you plant a tomato plant, you expect tomatoes. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because everything produces after its kind. As Genesis says, everything produces after its kind. And when God made Adam and Eve and designed their DNA and the miraculous bringing together of their DNA, when they had the child that they first had, it was after their kind. And from the moment of conception, and I will like to say more about that today, that from the moment of conception, that life is a human life. It is nothing less. I have known many people who have delivered their children very early. We had a friend that lived here in Placerville with me when I was a young man, and he married, and his wife had a baby at 24 weeks. That's very young. And that young man named Joseph is thriving. You know, he had some issues. He was born early, difficult human being. In Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kind. And it was so, and it keeps happening, folks. Tell you what, those star thistle seeds get into your property? I'm afraid what's going to happen is star thistle, right? Because everything produces according to its kind. Sorry to say that. And God made the beasts of the field according to their kind, and the livestock according to their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and it is good. Praise God. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There is no question. Take a look in your bulletin. There's this little flyer. And our local pregnancy counseling center, PCS, is the ones who provide these for us. And they are to instruct you and to encourage you and to give you direction. I just want to read one paragraph. On the back, the top paragraph says, and I want to tell you, this is my conviction, what's written on this little piece of paper. You can just read right with me on the back of this. We believe that human beings are created by God in his image. And what a gift that is for us. Therefore, every person from conception to natural death possesses inherent dignity and immeasurable worth, including preborn children, elderly individuals, those with special needs, and other marginalized by society. Christians, then, are called to defend, protect, and value all human life. Amen? Amen. We have two brothers here, Brother Glenn Neufeld and Brother Craig Holderman, who have... In fact, what I'd like you guys to do is tell us who you are, tell us how long you've been with PCS, and what your jobs are. Brothers, come on up. They're going to talk about PCS and the ministry that we have there. And they're our brothers. And, man, combined, these guys have put in a few years. There's a microphone right there behind you. Hey, Craig, I'll shake your hand. That's right. Here we go.
Okay. All right, does that work? Okay, good.
That on?
Well, my name is Glenn Neufeld, and I've lost count. It's been over 25 years that I've been with PCS, and I'm the president of the board and have been for probably more than 20 years. So from my perspective, see a lot of new faces. Many here know about PCS and have heard about this for years and years as we do Sanctity of Life, and I get up here and talk, and a number of people have participated as counselors or in other volunteer capacities from this church over the years. Pioneer has supported us for more than 25 years. I don't know how long, but at least that long, because they were supporters when I first came on. So we have a long history with Pioneer Bible Church. But I see a lot of new faces over the last few years, and thought of maybe a fuller update and history lesson, the Cliff Notes version, might be in order. So Pregnancy Counseling Services was started 35 years ago by an OB nurse from our community. And this was as kind of a local answer, Christian answer, to the rising abortion culture, particularly in our area. But so it was local. Abortion is a very political, hot-button topic. That is not what we're about. We are not politically activated, although we may sometimes, you know, raise issues in our newsletter, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to change one heart and life at a time. So by ministering to one individual at a time is the way we want to work. We have no judgment there. It's an open arms, love, support, and as Jay was talking about in his time this morning, it's about healing. Jesus is in the healing business, in the saving business, and we want there to be healing at pregnancy counseling. And for those who have had abortions, that same love, support, and hope for healing and forgiveness to happen there. We focus on lay counseling, education, physical support, from baby items to, you know, just that physical, tangible stuff, to parenting classes, to childbirth classes, all medically sound, even though we're not medical yet, but all medically sound information. And we don't have to exaggerate anything in our cause for life. The truth is on our side, so there's no exaggeration necessary. 5 to 10 years ago, one of our big calling cards was a free pregnancy test. That was the big draw for women with an unplanned pregnancy to come into our center. We couldn't give them a diagnosis or a confirmation of pregnancy, but we could answer their question. And it gave us an opportunity to talk to them as well and to present the cause for life. We talk about abortion. We don't refer for abortion, but we understand what it is and how that all works. Our test was self-administered, so it wasn't a medical procedure. Now you can almost get a pregnancy test at the dollar store, so that has no longer become a big calling card for us, and we're doing fewer and fewer pregnancy tests, providing really a lot more support services, which is not really what we got started for. Our goal is to reach the unplanned pregnancy and abortion vulnerable woman. So we had to start thinking about how do we meet those needs differently than we have in the past. About a year and a half ago, we did a trial with Alternatives Pregnancy Center out of Sacramento, who is a medical clinic, and they had a mobile clinic and an ultrasound. We'll talk about what that ultrasound is for in a minute. So we did that for about 6 months, and that really, it produced some fruit. It was a very good thing. But as their services grew and became more demanding and their client load became fuller and fuller, well, they couldn't spare their staff to come up and provide care for us. So we were challenged to think about doing that for ourselves. And 15 to 20 years ago, we actually did think about becoming medical. But at that time, there was nowhere near the organizational development and certainly not the financial development for us to do that. So we had to put that on hold for quite some period of time. That's been recently revisited. And so last fall, our board, after months of discussion, decided that we were going to pursue a license to become a medical clinic ourselves with limited services. So what does that mean for a pregnancy center like ours to become medical? You know, we're not going to be like your regular doctor's office providing a broad spectrum of coverage. What we will be doing is medically sanctioned pregnancy tests with a confirmation, limited ultrasounds. And the limited ultrasound is to confirm pregnancy, for one, make sure that the baby is in the right spot, so it's not in a tubal pregnancy that would cause mom harm, and do measurements for accurate dates to know how far along a woman is. And then we immediately want to get them into prenatal care with one of our local OBs. We will not be following women to term. So that's what ours is. We'll also be doing some limited STD testing. So that is another draw into our community. Having a medical license also gives us more credibility into the community to be able to get into schools. And we're already work with the health department and partnering with Marshall Hospital and their OB group. So that it's, again, more credibility within our community and will hopefully open more doors for us to minister. We will continue to do everything we've been doing. Our counseling and support service has been the mainstay of our organizations for 35 years, and it will only get more important as we add some medical services. Our medical stuff will probably only be 1 or 2 days a week to start with, where we'll still be 5 days a week on everything that we've already been doing and hopefully expand and grow that. The other thing with the ultrasound is that statistics show that 80% of abortion vulnerable women that see their baby and see their hear and see the heartbeat and see the form of their unborn child in the womb will choose life. That's a dramatic number. So part of how we're doing this is a huge undertaking. But we're convinced it's the Lord's will for us to do this. We have partnered with one of our professional organizations called NIFLA. It's a legal organization out of Washington, D.C. They have trained over 1,200 pregnancy centers to become medical clinics. And so they're going to be teaching us how to do this. California is a challenging place to do this. Other states, it's much easier. So we have our first board training in March to hopefully answer all of the questions that we have. Some things you can pray for us is we still need a medical director. We've talked to a couple of obstetricians already. Nobody has signed on the dotted line saying that they're ready to do that, but that's a big thing for them to do. There's a huge commitment on their part to do that, and we understand it and don't take that lightly. But we do need a medical director. God has been providing for us all the way along here, and he will provide just the right one at just the right time. So you can pray for that addition of service. Pray for our current team and for those that will join us. There's a lot of changes coming this year. Consider how you might partner with us, whether that be joining our team in volunteering or financially or just as a prayer partner. We need all of that. We continue to need counselors. As I said, our counseling jobs are going to only get more important and bigger as we go along, as we add these services. So if you're interested in any of that, please talk to me or Craig or Jim or come by the center. Our center currently is right next to Round Table Pizza on Main Street, but that's changing. And for that, we'll let Craig tell you more.
Thank you, everybody, for giving us the opportunity to say a few words, for sure. I'm going to go in a little different direction. A couple of weeks ago, reflecting back on Sanctity of Life, I had read an article and did a little research for all the American lives lost in war and battle, from the Revolutionary War to our current war on terror, 250-some years. Civil War, World War I, II, Vietnam War, everything. There were 1.1 million Americans lost in all those wars in that period of time. As tragic as that is for the soldiers that created our freedom and consistently defended our freedom, you look back at Roe v. Wade that started by the Supreme Court in 1973, 45, 50 years ago. This country has killed 60 million babies. It is hard to get your mind wrapped around all that. Being a life begins at conception my entire life, I just can't understand the other side. But with all that said, my good friend Glenn always tells me science is on our side. And that's where this ultrasound machine comes into effect for sure. If any of you have not seen what a 3D ultrasound machine does and the clarity, I urge you all to go to YouTube, check it out. Most of those little 2 or 3 minute clips, there is no doubt that there is a baby living in the womb. And you can clearly see that in the first trimester. So as Glenn had said, 80% of these women that come into our operation, hopefully they will choose life. With all that, I'm going to just try to give you a few numbers on where we're at. As Glenn told you, we've just leased a new office building. It's on the corner of Cedar Ravine and Marshall Way. It's right next to Quest Labs. We've got some considerable tenant improvements to do. And obviously the cost of going full medical clinic with doctors and nurses is pretty substantial too. From our particular standpoint, our donor base has increased over the last 3, 4, 5 years. and the tenant improvements that we need to make on this new building and all the cost of going medical, we have got fully funded for all of that. Our main, yeah, praise God for that. Our mission statement, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, is quite simple. We're here to save babies, help the women and families in any way that we possibly can in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's really as simple as that. Each woman that comes into our office, one at a time, that's who we try to help. And as our Tennille, our executive director, always tells me, we just show them love. As we move forward to this medical, as I told you, we pretty much got everything fully funded. Probably the one thing as the board treasurer that I look at down the way is the yearly financial commitment. We estimate once we become fully functional as a medical clinic, our annual costs are going to be about $200,000. That is a chunk of change. And though we are pretty close to meeting that, if any way that you can help, obviously a monthly donor, a faithful monthly donor for whatever amount gives us some stability in how we can pay after you take care of your home church. The second thing that we, as Glenn had mentioned, is counselors. If the Lord just puts it on your heart that this is an area that you should be going down, I encourage you to act on it. As proof to all that, my good friend Claire Winger, 35 years ago, acted on what God told her to do. And I cannot tell you, in the 25 years I've been on the board, and how many babies have been saved, and women and families that have been helped because of what she started 35 years ago, pregnancy counseling. Thank you, Claire. So, in conclusion, if any of you have any questions for Glenn and I. We've had two banquets. Our third annual banquet is September 12th. Sometime in September, you can go to our website and check that out. We're having it at the Cameron Park Country Club. We rent the whole area, full sit-down dinner, prizes and silent auction and all that stuff that you can expect with the banquet. And we give updates on where we're headed. We're probably a bit ambitious, but hopefully we'll have a medical license by then.
And just to be clear, it is a fundraiser. It is our primary fundraiser for the year. And we're gonna work all of this year on last year's banquet. So this year's banquet will hopefully fund most of 2021, because it does come in the latter part of the year. But it is a fundraiser.
It is. And our staff, we have two paid employees. We have about 18, 19 volunteer counselors. I just cannot express to you what an incredible group of people that we have. God gets the glory first, and I'm just amazed at what especially our counselors and our director does.
Any more? I just wanted to put a book out there called You Carried Me. I told others about it. It's about a woman who had been aborted and stayed alive and has found her. It's a survival story and how her life has made a difference. So You Carried Me. Highly recommend it. It's an incredible read. And, you know, abortion is addressed, and she actually went back to her mother and told her she could get it.
It is. I mean, at our last banquet, our guest speaker spoke on just that, about how he had just found out that he was almost aborted. It's a powerful, powerful message. It really is.
A quick update on, you know, Jim had mentioned Daniel Proft. Cheryl Proft, his mom, is one of our board members and our secretary. A couple of weeks ago, he was badly, badly burned in a home burn pit. 40% of his body over his torso. He is doing well at Shriners. He's covered head to toe in bandages from his burns or the grafts that they use to cover the burns with. He's got multiple surgeries and a really rough year ahead, but Lord's answering prayer left and right. We get updates regularly, so keep praying for Daniel and support for that whole family. Thanks for the chance to be here.
Since then, he's been putting every nickel, every dime, every bit of change that he gets in the baby bottle. And when he fills that up, he turns it in and gets another one. And he probably averages about 20 or about four of those baby bottles a year. So he's been doing that now for about 20 years. And I'd just like to recognize his contribution.
Thank you. I'm going to give you a quick little story. We talked about baby bottles and the coins that go out here, and I was never a big proponent of it. I mean, no, Glenn knows this. We started that about 4 or 5 years ago. I cannot tell you the blessing it is to people that give to us. I mean, the end of the story. It just nickels and dimes. Churches that get involved, the passion, I guess I look back and I was so wrong. And in the bottom line, at the end of each year, we take in $5,000 to $6,000 a year on coins. It's amazing.
And the Awana group here has been part of that a couple of times with baby baskets and the baby bottles. It's a great way to have an entire church and especially kids involved. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. You're on that side.
Yep.
Plus years ago, I was baby number 5. And my dad was so afraid I was going to be a girl that he physically picked my mother up, was going to take her to an abortion clinic, and she beat her way out of it. She was a very little woman, a very mild woman, but she butt clawed his eyes out, and she wouldn't let him. So here I am.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Greg. Mike, would you go to the second video in there? It says March for Life Worldwide. And there's just a little testimony I'd like you to hear. I'd like you to hear just a scripture or two also. We're ready to finish up. I want to say that Glenn and Craig and Claire, who doesn't like any recognition, so I'm not saying Claire's name right now, are champions for life. They, by the grace of God, so many moms who were in a crisis moment chose to not abort their child and chose to be saved. to let Jesus come into their life. I know that Mary did some post-abortion counseling for years. It is saving life for now and eternity. It's a tremendous. And right now, I am so grateful for the young crowd across the world that are standing for life and against abortion. And this is a very short video that talks about the March for Life. Now, we know the March for Life here in the United States. Did you know that the March for Life is happening all over the world? Just, if you would, listen to this. Mike, I think if you just start it right up and make it nice and loud for us.
The United States March for Life is the first of its kind. We are a very international group. Many international leaders come. They've gotten a lot of inspiration from our March for Life, and they go home and in an enculturated kind of way, they build their own March for Life.
Eighteen years ago, we started our first march in Canada. We had less than 1,000 people. And in 2015, we had over 25,000. 80% of the participants are under the age of 25. It's important that we continue until Canada restores a new culture of life.
The March for Life in Ireland is really a big celebration of life, and it's to bring the pro-life message not just to the public but to politicians, and to say that we can do better for mothers and for babies.
I think what is unique about the March for Life and the Vigil for Life in Ireland are the numbers of young people who come to these events. It's a phenomenal effort from grassroots up.
We march through the Birmingham streets. We're there to have a festival of life, a festival of love, and we want to pass it on to, first it was just to Birmingham, but now it's to the UK, and it's now it's to the world.
We have already nearly 40 years of the abortion law in Italy. The march is creating a culture of life. It helps young people to understand that life is a gift.
In Peru, the abortion is not legal, but we are under attack. There's a lot of NGOs that are trying to legalize abortion in Peru. So we need a march to defend the mother, to defend the child, to defend the family.
The March for Life in Mexico is important because we have to defend life and we have to be united to defend life. We are convinced that we are the pro-life generation and we are defending every day, every year, the life of the unborn.
The March for Life, whatever country it is, can be so powerful because often people feel alone, but there's something of the power and the unity and the solidarity and then the message that we are going to keep working until every human life is protected from conception to natural death.
You know, on, I don't mean to be critical, but on the local news stations, on secular news stations, you don't see this. What you see is people chanting pro-choice, and in the elections you see, my word, whole parties committed to pro-choice. You guys, it is so good that people are standing for life, and they're standing for Christ. You know, when they're standing for life in this issue, when they're standing for life, they're not just standing for life. Did you see Jesus in all those, in Peru, in Mexico City? They're not just standing for ending abortion. They're standing for Christ. And you see these groups, and I didn't intend to say this much, but you see these groups, and you guys, we are, since 73, 60-plus million aborted babies. That's just in America. It's exceeded 1 billion in the world, especially as it's multiplied and it's gone overboard in the last 40 years. I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures. What I want to talk about was that God created life. Secondly, I wanted to talk about the fact that they are made after their kind, that what is in the mother's womb is life, is a human being. And it's not a blob, it's not just a fetus, it is life from the moment of conception. That children, God says, are what? They are a heritage from the Lord. And, you know, so anyway, it's past time. The children's ministry is done, like I said last week, and they would like for us to end. I am just grateful for, I am grateful for maybe an end to be coming, at least a slowing down to be coming. There are less abortions this year than last. There are less abortions last year than the year before, and we praise God for that. Every child conceived has the opportunity to know Christ. And by the way, I am convinced that every aborted child is in heaven with God. I am absolutely convinced of that from Scripture, and I'd love to tell you why more sometime. So, worship team, would you come on up and let's pray. God, I am grateful, so very grateful, that even though we as nations have cheapened life, we've cheapened life on the preborn end, we've cheapened life on the elderly end, we've cheapened life when it comes to those who are handicapped in some way, and yet Exodus 4 says, you made them all for your glory and honor, and help us to have the right godly attitude about life, to have a sanctity, a holiness of life, Lord. And I pray that you, God, would continue to do your work and help Christians to stand up for what is right. So, Lord, our major purpose is the gospel. But Lord, you give us places to share the gospel. If you're a college student, you can do it on a college campus. If you're a politician, you can do it in Washington or Sacramento. If you're a nurse, you can do it at your hospital. If you're a teacher, you can do it at your school. As parents, we do it in our home. And Lord, with this, what has become a very political issue, God, we can stand and say, God is right. The Bible is right. We are made in the image of God, and these people have a right to live. So, Lord, we said this morning before we started, it is our desire that you be glorified and honored. That's our goal here. And, Lord, we lift up your name. We want to honor what you honor. Father, use these things, these tools that you've given us. I pray for PCS. I pray for all of the people on the board and all the people that are volunteers, and I pray, God, that you would use that ministry and the ministries like those all over this planet who are promoting life and Christ, Lord, to be continually effective. So, Lord, here we are. We love you. We're going to stand and worship you together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let's stand and worship our God with this last song.
That saved. set on my heart to fear and praise my fear redeemed. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone.
Part of John Newton's testimony when he wrote this song about Amazing Grace is because he had a lot of sins to be forgiven, right? And he wrote about the amazing grace of God. I just want to say that what we didn't get to talk about was forgiveness. Glenn mentioned it, how PCS is a major attitude is that we love, that we care about the people that are coming in, and And forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a key issue, especially for those who experienced abortion or been part of that in any way. And we just want to, we'll talk more about that. I just want to say that as you leave today, I know that just, there are just things, now some of you may not be able to do this, but if you need prayer, maybe you could just talk to the person next to you and say, could you pray for me? You don't have to do that. I don't really feel awkward, but maybe you'd like somebody to pray with you. And let's do that for each other, okay? So enjoy, if you watch the Super Bowl, enjoy that. And but especially enjoy each other, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Massage.